Hey, take your Bibles, turn to Matthew, if you would, please. Matthew, we've been using this verse kind of as a springboard to get us into our series that we're in, Matthew chapter 16. I'm very excited about what I feel like the Lord has for us today as far as His Word is concerned. We're going to continue to hear what God has to say to us individually and collectively as a church. As we continue in our study, this message series called Selfless. We live, for the most part, in a very selfish, self-centered, self-promoting culture. And we introduced the thought a couple of weeks ago, what would it look like if we were selfless instead of selfish? And we've kind of looked at it from that particular perspective, because first of the year, usually there's resolutions, there's goals set, and to be honest with you, they're really kind of selfish in nature. So I thought it'd be good if we kind of would look away from self and become like our Lord and Savior, selfless, because He invites us. I mean, Jesus teaches something that is diametrically opposed to self-centeredness, selfishness, self-promoting culture that we live in. And He invites us. He calls us to be selfless. He calls us to deny self and take on the very form of a servant. Because Jesus said this. Yes, it's ringing, Michael. See if you can. Got Travis? Okay, good deal. Jesus Himself said this, I have not come to be served, but I've come to serve. So we're looking at this selfless topic and this message series that we're in. And I really hope and pray that it's been a help and a blessing to you, and praying that today will speak to us in a big way as well. All right, let me just ask you a question this morning, just out of curiosity. If you are boarding a plane, do you prefer window seat, middle seat, or aisle seat? If you're boarding a plane, do you prefer a window seat, a middle seat, or an aisle seat? How many of you prefer a window seat? Would you raise your hand? All right. How many of you say, you know what, the aisle is where I need to be in case I need to go to the restroom. I can get up, don't have to bother anybody. So there's a few that says aisle. How many of you are brave enough to sit in the middle? Would you raise your hand? Landon, how many flights have you been on? Three times. Landon, he's small anyway. He's set in the middle, all right? So mostly it's window or aisle. Now, I prefer the window seat myself. More about this here in just a few minutes. I was just kind of curious about that. We're in a series called Selfless, Week 1. We talked about how we can kind of squash selfishness and a selfish attitude by being bold in spirit, being bold in our witness. Last week we talked about being faithful in our service, being a faithful servant. Now next week I'm going to talk to you about something that just happens to us. We're in this grind day after day after day, and we're just going to talk about being grateful in the grind. But this week I want to talk to you just for a few minutes about overcoming a selfish attitude by daring to be generous, daring to be generous. So we're in this message series called Selfless, and we've established that we live in a very selfish, self-centered world. So let's go back to the airplane just for a moment. Studies show, and I'm just repeating what studies show, for those who prefer a window seat, as I do, as many of you do as well, that we're more selfish on average than those who would prefer another seat. All right, so take that for what it's worth. And those who have done the studies, I'm not sure they really know what they're talking about, but that's just kind of the research that I saw and thought it was kind of funny and wanted to see where we were. I've read several articles on the topic of selfishness just to kind of get a feel about this message series that we're dealing with, so that I could be a help to you guys in a very special way. And I came across an article that says this: science shows us that we are selfish. Now, I thought that was funny. funny because we don't need science to show us that we're selfish. All you have to do is look at a two-year-old, and you can just know from that that you don't have to have lessons on how to be selfish, do you? I mean, you don't have to set a two-year-old down and say, look, when somebody gets your toy, I want you to yell as loud as you can, mine! We don't have to do that, do we? I mean, it just happens by nature. We can look around and see that just by nature, people are inherently selfish. And according to this article that I read, that men, I'm sorry, but this article says that men are generally more selfish than women are. Yeah. And some say it's this. This is the reason why men are. They're wired just to survive. It's like, you know, I'm going to leave the cave now. I'm going to go out and I'm going to kill something because we have to have it to survive. They say that men are just wired that way. But on the other hand, women, as this study shows, that they get some sort of rush whenever they do something good, some kind of dopamine rush when they do good for someone else. And I was thinking, why in the world is that? But women are, they're nurturers. They are glad to be able to help others so survive. So typically women are more generous than men. But now ladies, wait just a second, okay? In case you're feeling pretty good about yourself right now, men aren't the only ones who are selfish. When it comes to chocolate, a woman can be very selfish. Example, if a woman is out with her best friend and there is an offer of a bigger piece of chocolate cake or a smaller piece of chocolate cake, they will inevitably take the bigger piece of chocolate cake. Now, it's just something about that. So inherently, we are all kind of selfish. Our culture tells us, indulge yourself. Our culture will tell us, gratify yourself. Our culture will tell us, just get whatever you can. Grab what is yours. It's all about you. But then Jesus says this, Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. If you have your Bibles open, your electronic device open to Scripture, however you get to Scripture, you can see it. Even put it on the screen for you. But here's what Jesus said. Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, here's some stipulations. He said, you've got to deny yourself, take up your cross, and then follow me. Jesus said, it's not about you getting more of what you want. It starts with self-denial. Jesus said this. He said, you're to deny yourself, you're to take up your cross, and then you're to follow me. Rather than being selfish in all we do, I believe God has called us to be selfless. One of the ways that we can be selfless is in this manner of giving. And we read a couple of great verses in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 21, verses 25 and 26. Scripture says this, the desire of the lazy man kills him. I mean, that's just it right there. His hands refuse to labor. He covets greedily all day long. But now notice the last part of verse 26. But the righteous gives and does not spare. So when Solomon's talking about lazy people and selfish people, he said all day long the lazy man just kind of craves and craves and wants more and more. But the righteous, notice what Scripture says here, but the righteous gives and does not hold back. I love that imagery there. Even though in our culture, the tendency is to be very selfish, to crave and crave and want to more and more, there's another type of person. There is the person that follows Jesus Christ, a believer in Jesus Christ, and the Scripture says that the righteous does this. The righteous gives and does not spare. And for those of you who are saying, great, I came to church on a Sunday where they talk about being generous. Of all Sundays for me to go to church, it's talking about being generous today. Well, listen to me just for a moment, because that was me. I really believe that God has a word for us today, and I want to just share some very simple mindsets about generosity. One of the ways that we can be a generous people is to be a selfless people, not a selfish people. And God has promised to bless those who give. We're going to see that from Scripture today. And I want you to take Him at His promise. And I want you to prove Him. And we're going to talk about that here in just a few moments. But I want to just kind of give you, put your mind at ease today. I don't want anything from you. I want something for you. I want God's best for you. I want God's blessings for you. And I want to just kind of mention three different mindsets about generosity, and I'm finished. So if you're taking notes, you can jot this one down. The first one is this. And the first mindset is the bag mindset. The bag mindset. The person with the bag mindset believes this, that there's never enough. There's never enough here. Honestly, a lot of people grew up this way. This is how I grew up. And I'm just, you know, they say confession is good for the soul, but it's kind of bad for the reputation. This is kind of how I grew up. This is the mentality and the mindset that I grew up with a real poverty mindset. But I want you to look at a powerful passage of Scripture found in the Old Testament. The minor prophet Haggai, he recorded for us in chapter 1, a wonderful verse. But I want you to understand something about this time during Haggai. The people there, they were not putting God first. They were not rebuilding the temple. They were trying to satisfy themselves. And Haggai says this as a result in Haggai chapter 1 and verse 6. He says, "You have sown much, but you bring in little. You eat, but you do not have enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages," notice this, "earns wages to put it in a bag with holes." The bag mindset. Most Americans have the tendency to live with this kind of mindset. We don't put God first. And as a result of that, we believe that there's never, never enough. I mean, when it comes in, it just goes out. There's holes in the bag. Yeah, I'd like to give more. I'd like to be able to do more. I'd like to be more generous. But there's not enough in the bag. I'd love to make a difference by giving. I wish I didn't always have to worry about money, but there's just not enough in the bag. So we worry about what's in the bag, and we're constantly checking what's in the bag, and seems like there's never enough in the bag. Do you know who carried the bag during Jesus' day and time with His disciples? Do you know who it was that carried the money bag? Who was it? Judas. The one that betrayed Jesus. Judas was the guy that carried the bag. He was the money keeper. But Judas was all about the bag. He was all about the money coming in the bag. In fact, there's a powerful story found in Mark's gospel about a woman who was most likely a prostitute. And she had been changed by Jesus. And she had experienced the wonderful love of Jesus and changed her heart, changed her life. And as a result of it, she's going to show her appreciation to Jesus. So one day where Jesus was, she goes in with this very expensive bottle of ointment, this very expensive jar of perfume. And as an act of worship, she poured it on Jesus because of who He was and because of what He had done for us. She gave and did not hold back. As a matter of fact, there were some there, though, some of the disciples that had this to say. Mark chapter 4, or 14 in verse 4. "But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, 'Why was this fragrant wasted? It might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor.' And they criticized her sharply. And Judas was one of them, because Scripture tells us that he possessed the bag. And not only was he guarding the money bag, but Judas was taking from the money bag as well. And it was Judas who, shortly after this, who eventually ends up betraying Jesus and sells Him for a price of 30 pieces of silver. Why? Because he wanted what was in the bag. And in the bag, it seemed like there were just holes in it. There was just never enough to go around. Maybe that's the mindset that you grew up in like I did. I kind of grew up the idea where there's just not enough. We have to watch what we do. Money doesn't grow on trees. The rich get richer and the poor get poorer. I wish we could do more, but there's not enough in the bag. So if you have the bag mindset, there's never ever going to be enough. Never. It's just like that verse that Haggai was telling us, that there's, you earn wages, you put it in a bag with holes in it. There's never enough in the bag. But that's not the only mindset. And I want to show you another mindset. And that is the basket mindset. Not only the bag mindset where there's never enough, this basket mindset actually says that there is enough. Let me show you a great passage from Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 2. It says, "And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God." Now, I highlighted the word obeyed there because obey, because it is very important for us to understand and realize this, that when you obey the Lord your God, now watch this, he says, if you drop down to verse 5, "Blessed shall your basket and your kneading bowl." I mean, you've got the bag mindset during the time of Haggai, where they didn't put God first, they didn't rebuild the temple, they didn't obey God, and there was never enough. They didn't obey God in this matter of giving, and there's never enough. But then you get to the basket mindset, and that's where you obey God. And Scripture says this, "Blessed shall your basket be. Blessed shall your kneading bowl be." There will be enough. As a matter of fact, Scripture tells us this in Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. And I love this verse. And it says this, "Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom, for with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you." Now, let's look at this. Let's break it down just for a moment here. The Lord says this. He says, if you give, it's going to be given to you. I don't know how He's going to do that. Not my problem to figure out how the Lord is going to do that. But I'm going to tell you something. This is a promise from God. This is a promise from the God of the universe that says that if we give, it's going to be given to us. It's going to be given good measure, pressed down. It's going to be shaken together and running over. Now notice, He didn't say keep and it's going to be given to you. He didn't say hoard and it's going to be given to you. He said give and it will be given to you. Now why would Jesus say give and it's going to be given to you? Jesus understood that what you keep is all you have, but what you give away, God multiplies. As a matter of fact, you can write this down on your Daystar card. What you keep is all you have, but what you give, God is able to multiply it. Give and it will be given to you. Now notice this, good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. And I love this imagery here. I love this imagery of good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. Now the crowd listening to Jesus, they would have understood what in the world He was talking about here, and they would have understood this imagery here because they knew what He was talking about. They knew that if there was a rich landowner, and this rich landowner, he would tell his workers at the end of the week, "Hey, just leave some grain on the edge of the field for those who are struggling, for those who are hungry, for those who are in need, because God has blessed us. We've had a great harvest. God has blessed us. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to leave some on purpose for those. We want to be a blessing to others." So I want you to think about what kind of basket that you would carry if you were a minimum wage earner working for a wealthy landowner, and your job was to carry the basket of grain from the field to the barn. Now, let me ask you this. How much would you put in your basket as you made your way from the field to the barn? Now, I can't speak for you, but I'm going to tell you how much I would do it. This is kind of how I would do it. I would make sure the basket was about, you know, at least 80% full. I wouldn't want to spill any as I was carrying the basket from the field to the barn. I'm going to make the basket comfortably full. But now then, if my family is depending on that to eat and depending on me to provide for them. And the wealthy landowner says, hey, leave some for those who are struggling, leave some for those who are poor. God has blessed us. We want to be a blessing to others. How full do you think I'm going to fill my basket if I know my family is going to eat off of this for the next few days? I'm going to fill the basket. Not comfortably full, but I'm going to fill the basket so full that I'm going to press it down. I'm going to shake it together. I'm going to get it as full as I possibly can because my family is depending on that to eat. So when you give, now, Craig, can we go back to that verse? When you give, it will be given to you. This is what the Lord said. You give, you be faithful in doing what God has said for us to do. And we'll talk about that in just a moment, and then we're finished. Give and it'll be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom, for with the same measure that you use, the same measure that you give, that's going to be measured back to you. All right, we're talking about being selfless. And if we're going to be selfless, one of the ways that we can combat selfishness is to be selfless in our giving. So you've got the basket mindset, and there's a couple of stories that I want to share with you very quickly, and I'm just going to hit the highlights of these this morning because they're so meaningful to me. Along these lines, in the Old Testament, 1 Kings chapter 17, you can look up the story and you can read the story later. There was a widow who had a young son, and all she had was just a little bit of flour and oil left. She was going to fix a meal. She was going to prepare a meal for her and her son. She was going to eat it. They were going to eat it, and then they were going to die. They were actually going to starve to death because of the situation that was in the land during that day. Well, the prophet Elijah comes by, and he says, I'm hungry. He said, would you give me something to eat? And she says, well, look, all I've got is just a little bit of flour here, a little bit of meal here, a little bit of grain here, a little bit of oil. I don't have much, but I'm just going to fix it for me and my son. We're going to eat it. We're going to die. And Elijah challenged her to trust God and feed the man of God first. Put your faith into action. And she did so. And I want you to see what Scripture says in 1 Kings 17, verse 16. It says, the flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Now, I'm telling you something. And I'm trying to get you to understand something. You can have this bag mindset. You can have a hole where there a bag with just holes in it. There's nothing there. We're just being selfish. We're not giving. We're not doing what God calls us to do. Or we can have this basket mindset where God says, I'll meet your needs. If you give, it's going to be given back to you. And here's an illustration of it. Now, let's jump to the New Testament. Let me give you another illustration real quick. In John chapter 6, Jesus is, he's teaching, and there's about 5,000 men there, and not counting the women and children, some have estimated that there's at least 15,000 plus people there. And the disciples come up to Jesus after he's teaching, and they tell him, you know, the people are hungry. And Jesus said, well, you give them something to eat. And they said, we don't have anything. But there was one boy that had a basket that had 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish in it. And Jesus took what was given and he blessed it and he broke it and he fed the entire multitude. After they fed the entire multitude, there were 12 baskets full of fragments taken up. John chapter 6, verse 13, it says, therefore they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten. Now, why 12? Let me suppose here just for a moment. Maybe Jesus saw the disciples and how hard they had worked and how much they realized that with God, there's always enough. And they put their faith into action. And Jesus said, won't you take a basket? I don't know. I'm speculating. But I'm going to tell you something. You, please listen to me. You cannot outgive God. You can't do it. The bag mindset, it's all about us. Never enough. The basket mindset is, there is enough. But now wait a minute, I told you there were 3 mindsets. This is where I want you to live, this next one. And here's what I want you to see. The last thing. Jot this down. The third mindset is the barn mindset. I want you to live in the barn. I'll explain here in just a second. We're done. All right. The barn mindset. The mind says that you recognize in God's kingdom. Now watch this. There's always more than enough. Always. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits. See that word first fruits? Tithes. Honor the Lord with your possessions, the first fruits, the tithes of all your increase. And verse 10 says, so your barns will be filled with plenty. We honor God when we put Him first and we give Him what He entrusts us with. We honor Him with our giving, and when we do, we understand that our God always has more than enough. Your barns will be filled. I love this verse, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. I hope you understand that God wants to be first in your life. He says, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Now then, Michael is coming, and we're getting ready to wind this down. We seek Him first. We seek Him first at the beginning of the year as we seek God purposefully in prayer for God's leadership and God's direction for our lives. We seek Him at the beginning of the day by seeking Him in prayer and spending time in His Word. We seek Him first at the beginning of the week when we come and we worship Him together, individually and collectively as a group. We seek Him first during a time of increase. When God blesses us, God gives us more. We acknowledge that and we worship Him first. I was going to share some things with you. I'm going to skip over a couple of verses. And you're going to read these verses on your Daystar card, and they're not going to make a whole lot of sense to you. But if you read the context of it, God's not asking us to give what He was not willing to give. God was willing to give. He was willing to give first. The first begotten Son of God, also called the Lamb of God. So God is speaking to us today. We can be selfish. It'll be like putting money in a bag with holes in it. Or we can honor Him, the basket mindset. We're going to be faithful to God. And we're going to do what He says. And God's going to meet the needs. Or we're going to do more than just the tithes. We're going to do the offerings as well. And when you put God first and when you seek Him first, I'm telling you, this is the only place in Scripture where God says this. He says, I want you to prove me in this. Son, Malachi. Malachi chapter 3. This is a place where God says, I want you to test me in this and prove me. See if I'm not telling you the truth. Because here's what God says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. And here it is, God says, try me. Go ahead, try me. Prove me in this. Either He's God or He's not. He says, prove me in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I'll not open the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessings that there'll not be room enough for you to receive. That's that barn mindset. And Jesus said this, the last verse that I'm going to share with you today. Jesus said this. It's actually found not in the Gospels where we find the life of Christ recorded for us, the sayings of Christ recorded for us. It's actually found in the book of Acts. They're quoting Jesus. Acts chapter 20, verse 35. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus that He said this. It's more blessed to give than to receive. How many of you know that's true? It's It's true. It's true. God says, prove me in this. I'm going to open up the windows of heaven. I'm going to pour out blessings on you that you're not going to have room enough to receive. You're going to have to store them in the barn. But now listen to me. We don't give to get. We seek Him first. That's important. And we obey Him in this manner. And I'm going to dare you today to be generous in your selflessness. Just be generous in your selflessness. And I'm going to tell you, God's going to bless you. God's going to use you. God's going to do some mighty things in and through your heart and your life. Now close your Bibles. For those of you who have tested the Lord in this area, you know it's true. For those of you who have tested Him where He said, try me, prove me, see if it's not true, you know that it's true. You know God's going to meet the needs. And there's going to be enough. Somehow, some way, some shape, some form, God is going to meet the need. I've seen it so many times. I've experienced it so many times. God's going to meet the needs that you have. And you can write this down and we're through today. Because our righteous God, He loves us. He didn't hold back when He gave His only Son, Jesus, to pay for our sin on the cross. He loves us. And we believe in a barn blessing, big-hearted, open-handed, good and grace-filled God. How about a hearty amen right there? That's the kind of God we serve. Now this is not a name it and claim it message. You know me better than that. You know that. This is an area where God says, test me and prove me in this area. And see what happens. Let me ask you a question. Look at me. God-given eyeballs, I'm done. Is He God or not?
Yes.
We believe He is. Does He keep His word?
Yes.
Yes, He does. God's going to bless you in ways that you can't even begin to imagine by you being faithful in this matter of generosity. Let's pray about that today.